227 years ago today, Nathan Hale was executed. Hale is recognized by the CIA as the first American spy to die for his country. A manuscript recently given to the Library of Congress sheds new light on how the British actually caught Hale. The manuscript is attributed to a Connecticut storekeeper named Consider Tiffany, and it suggests that Hale played a pretty big role in his own undoing. Jim Hudson is head of the manuscript division at the Library of Congress. He came by to talk about this manuscript and how Nathan Hale became a spy in the first place.
He was a captain in the Connecticut forces and was with the American forces besieging Boston. This was in the fall of 1775. When the Washington's army then was trying to defend New York, he was there. And he was recruited actually for an elite force by Colonel Knowlton. And it was as a member of this elite force that he was asked to volunteer for this mission.
Major Robert Rogers is identified as the man who ensnares Hale.
That is correct.
With
a
trickery by portraying himself as a sympathizer. How did these two come together, and how did he win Hale's trust?
Well, I assume that Rogers discovered Hale in his, that is to say, Rogers' capacity as a recruiting officer. Rogers was trying to raise a regiment of Tories on Long Island, and Hale had gone over to Long Island on a spying mission, portraying himself as an unemployed schoolmaster. He was an athletic-looking fellow, and so he would have been a likely prospect for a recruiting party. Here's an unemployed guy at loose ends. Rogers somehow or other became suspicious of Hale. He went to his lodgings and interviewed him, and according to Tiffany's history, Rogers portrayed himself actually as an American spy on the same kind of mission Hale was, and drank a health to the Continental Congress, at which point Hale believed that he was a comrade in arms, or at least in espionage, and revealed his own mission to Rogers. The next day, Rogers asked him if he would repeat this the next day to a group of friends. One assumes that Rogers promised Hale that these people could be recruited to do as a kind of instant spy ring. So Hale went to Rogers' headquarters the next day and told the story again, at which point a group of British soldiers closed in, arrested him, and sent him off to New York where he was executed. So he did very indiscreetly, foolishly, naively reveal his mission. It was a kind of loose lips sink the ship business, to his own dismay and demise.
Well, if you're acting as a spy, it would seem that he broke rule number one: don't divulge secrets to strangers.
True. And in Hale's defense, people who have looked at his career recently, some former ex-CIA officers and intelligence officers, point out that he had no training whatsoever this mission and was a brave man. It was a dangerous mission. Hardly anybody would volunteer for it. But he simply knew nothing about the spying trade, and probably one shouldn't be surprised that he made this blunder, although one's embarrassed that he did.
But what of that famous line, "I regret I have only one life to lose for my country"?
That is a quotation from Addison, the playwright Joseph Addison's play Cato. It has been ascribed to Hale. We hope he said it or said something like that, but we actually don't know. There was no sort of recording secretary on hand to hear his dying speech.
And how important is the utterance of that line to his...
Well, it's very important. It enhances his stature as a patriot. I mean, what we do know, there was a man named Montresor present, a British officer, who remarked on the equanimity and courage with which he met death. So we do know that he bravely met his death, but we're not quite sure he said that.
Mr. Hudson, thank you so much for coming in to speak to us.
Thank you.
Jim Hudson is the head of the Manuscripts Division at the Library of Congress.